This dynamic message is brought to you by Christian Family Church International.
Today we continue our series titled The Force Behind Your Words. Let's do a quick recap for those of you that are here for the first time and any of our members that missed last week. King Solomon said in Proverbs 18:21, out of the Message translation, words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. King Solomon possessed more wisdom than any human. He had divine understanding of the most complicated subjects. This wisest of all men said, you choose whether to release poison into your world, to produce good fruit in your life and in your future by choosing the words you use. Solomon understood the force behind your words. James, the half-brother of Jesus and the first leader of the Jerusalem church, wrote to Christians everywhere saying, if anyone thinks they are religious or think they are a good Christian, but doesn't bridle their tongue, they deceive their own hearts and their religion is useless. In other words, a person is not a good Christian if he doesn't control his tongue. Someone who doesn't understand the force behind their words and who doesn't govern those words is literally deceiving or misleading their own spirit. We have to speak in line with the Word of God. If we say things that are out of order with the Word, we are poisoning our world. Over time, we will begin to accept a life that is less than God wants for us. As we continue to speak things opposite of God's promise, we confuse our spirit. In this series of teaching, we'll learn how God created this world and how each of us actually shape our own world by the words we choose. We will explore biblical truths about the force behind our words and seek out how to apply them to our lives today. I believe as you hear and apply this message, you will notice your faith rising to new levels, and you'll begin to act and speak with faith, knowing God loves you and wants the best for you. You'll see your finances improve. You'll see your family relationships improve. You'll see your health improve. You'll see all the circumstances around you line up with the Word of God as you begin to apply this faith, this force, in every area of your world. Romans 12:2 says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In order to know the will of God, we have to renew our mind to the Word. We need to know what God thinks about certain things. Otherwise, how can we know His will in a particular circumstance? As you renew your mind, just like you drive a car, and depending on the circumstances, automatically press the brake or the accelerator, so you'll begin to automatically apply what we're learning here to your circumstances without thinking about it. We must understand how important it is to be able to use our force of faith, because if we don't, God can't help us no matter how serious or tragic our circumstances. I know these timeless principles work. I've seen it in my own life and in the lives of others. I believe you'll see the benefits too as we progress through this series. Today we want to uncover one hidden truth that Jesus said we must understand if we want to comprehend His kingdom. He said it's the key to unlocking all the other secrets He taught. Let's look at Mark 4:13 out of the New King James. And He said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying that this particular parable He's about to share is extremely important. It's the basis, the foundation, the principle for all other principles, all other parables. It's the basis, the foundation, and the principle for all other parables. If we don't understand this parable, we'll not be able to understand any other parable. Mark 4:14 says, the sower sows the word. This parable describes a farmer sowing seed in his fields to produce a harvest. Jesus goes on to explain to His disciples that this parable is an analogy and the seed is the Word of God. Our Lord is saying God's Word will be sown into the hearts of people like seed is sown in soil. Today, I am the farmer sowing the Word of God into the soil of your hearts. Whenever you speak the Word, for example, whenever you share a scripture with a friend, then you're the sower. Does the soil decide what kind of seed is sown, or does the farmer make that decision?
The farmer.
That's right. What kind of seed should we be sowing?
Good.
We're looking at scriptures today that answer that question. 1 Peter 1:23 out of God's Word translation says, "You have been born again, not from a seed that can be destroyed, but through God's everlasting word that can't be destroyed." J.B. Phillips' New Testament says it this way, "For you are the sons of God now. The live, permanent word of the living God has given you his own indestructible heredity." The Bible tells us the word of God is incorruptible seed. As we speak the word of God, we are sowing incorruptible seed. For example, if I quote 1 Peter 2:24, "By Jesus' stripes I was healed," I'm sowing a seed from the word of God. It's a healing seed. If I plant that seed into my heart and allow it to grow, it will produce a health harvest. If I paraphrase Luke 6:38 to say, "I have given, therefore it's given back to me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over," then I'm sowing financial seed that will produce a financial harvest. I have an avocado seed here. If I plant it properly, what will grow? Mangoes? Carrots? No, avocados. Did you know that they found avocado trees that are 400 years old and still producing fruit? I did some quick math, and one of those trees could have produced almost 100,000 avocados in its lifetime. Not too impressive, but I read that over 80% of all the avocados in the world are produced on trees that descended from a single mother tree raised by a mail carrier named Rudolph Haas in California. He planted it in 1935, and in less than 80 years, that single seed, through its descendants, is responsible for producing an estimated 10 billion avocados a year, all from that one seed. Talk about the power of reproduction, power of seed, power of multiplication. 10 billion avocados a year from one seed. It's amazing. So we see avocado seeds produce avocados, carrot seeds produce carrots, mango seeds produce mangoes, dog seeds produce dogs, human seeds produce humans. I think you get the idea. Say, all seed produces after its kind. God has seed, and his seed is the word or scriptures we find in our Holy Bible. 1 Peter 1:23 out of the New King James says, "Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever." That means the word carries God's life in it, just like human seed carries human life in it. When an unsaved person hears the word of God preached, that word seed goes into their heart's soil. If they allow it to stay and grow, they make a decision to follow Christ and are born again. Now that seed, the life of God, is in their spirit and they are alive with God. Christ is alive in that person. How? By receiving the seed that carried the life of Christ. Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak to you are spirit, they are life." So every word of God carries life, and every seed will produce after its kind. Say this, "And every seed,
and every
seed
is the ability
to produce
its own harvest.
We all know that not every seed will grow in every soil or in every climate. But if you let a seed germinate, it will produce a harvest. We know that some conditions produce weak, sickly plants, while different conditions produce a large, healthy harvest. Let's examine this parable Jesus said was so critical to our understanding of his kingdom. In this parable, we find four different kinds of soil, three categories of bad soil, and one that's good soil. As we continue, let's carefully analyze ourselves to determine what kind of soil we represent. Let's ask ourselves questions like, which category do I fit into? Am I the good soil? Or I'm occasionally the bad soil. Jesus explains the parable in Mark 4:15. "These are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts." Satan comes immediately to take away the word of God that was sown in their hearts on this wayside soil. So what is wayside soil? Well, it's like that hard ground next to the roadside or footpaths. Have you ever walked through a park or on a campus or even someone's yard and seen a path worn by people not staying on the sidewalks? That's the kind of ground Jesus is describing here. It's hard and packed down. Any seed that falls on this hard surface just stays right on top. The seed just lays there waiting to be eaten by birds. It cannot germinate and bear a great harvest. The Lord Jesus said, people whose hearts are hard and dry are like this wayside soil. So when they hear the word, Satan comes immediately and is able to easily snatch or steal that word. When Jesus says the devil takes it immediately, how much time lapses between the time the word is received and the time that that word is taken? You mean like right now, while we're listening? Is that what it means? Some folks might hear it but not perceive it. Some might not comprehend. Is that what it's saying? Who's stealing that word? Who's making us lose our concentration? It's Satan, right? Why? Because he's after the word. He knows that word is life-giving. Luke confirms what we read in Peter about the incorruptible seed being the word of God. Luke 8:11 says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Say, God's word is seed.
God's word is seed.
We read earlier in John 6:63 where Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. The word carries life. We're learning God's word hasn't lost any of its power because it's incorruptible. It cannot fail. The reason we don't see a harvest is because of the soil. The soil determines the harvest. The seed can only produce what the soil allows it to produce. If our faith's not working, don't be concerned about the seed. Don't worry about whether God's word can do it. It's the heart we need to look at. It seems like the devil's anxious to steal the word because he comes immediately. I would say he's paranoid. I dare say the devil knows something that most Christians don't know about the force behind your words, about the value, about the power, about the ability of that word. These kind of Christians only pick up their Bibles to dust it off on Sundays on their way to church. They don't listen to godly messages like this one during the week. Church is a ritual for them, not a relationship with their Heavenly Father. So why is the devil so paranoid about the word, family? Because without the word, we are powerless against Satan. Satan brings problems to us like sickness, financial challenges, family issues, all to distract us while he tries to steal the word so he can hold us in bondage. Satan wants to control you. He wants to be lord over the church. He wants to control everything, but he can't. Satan knows if he can steal the word, he can steal God's help from us. If he can steal the word, he can hold us captive. If he can steal the word, he can keep us helpless. We'll be limited only to our natural resources if he can steal the word. When we understand the scripture that says whatever we bind on earth, we can bind the devil. We can put him in chains, so to speak. When we understand and use the word of God, we reverse the tables on Satan. We get rid of his problems with the word of God. We stay in charge and the devil's under our feet. But we can't do that if we don't have the word in us. We don't bind the devil with our hands. We bind him with our words, which come out of the abundance of the heart. Let's continue. Mark 4:16. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground. When they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so only endure for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Here we see Satan brings tribulation and persecution for the word's sake. The devil doesn't bring problems our way just because he doesn't like us. He doesn't like us, but that's not the only reason. The main reason he brings tribulations, problems, persecutions, or people saying bad things about us is to steal the word. Satan wants us to doubt God. He wants to overwhelm us with so many problems in our life that we can't read our Bible, listen to teachings on CDs, or even think about coming to church because of the problems in life that we're dealing with. Oh, but Pastor Joel, I just don't have time to read the Bible because I've got so much going on, so many things I have to fix. That's exactly what the devil wants to hear. We need to learn to see beyond the natural circumstances and recognize them for what they are. The devil is causing the problems to keep us out of the word. The way to solve your problems is to get God involved. We do this understanding the power behind our words and loading our spirit with his promises. Then we speak to those problems and order them to line up with the Bible. Say this, if I speak about the problem,
if I speak about the problem,
it will grow.
It it will grow.
If I speak to the problem,
it will go.
We have to speak to our mountain of problems with godly words that come out of our heart, out of our spirit. We all know people who don't have time to fix things because they have too many problems. They try to take shortcuts instead of doing things the right way. For example, their car's smoking and making noise, but they don't have time or the money to get it fixed. Then they blow their engine. Now they must take time and find the thousands of dollars to fix it. The sad thing is if they'd taken a few minutes and added a few quarts of oil to the engine, they would have saved themselves a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of heartburn. I was ministering in the hospital this week. By the way, because of your tithes and offerings, Pastor Christina and I are able to spend time each week in the hospital loving on people like Jesus would and offering them some joy in a gloomy situation. So please know the seed you sow is being used to minister to others. Thank you so much for sending us into the community. As I was saying, I was ministering to one particular man who had just found out that he was terminal. He told me it was because he had smoked all his life and had finally caught up with him. He went on to say his first wife of over 40 years had died 7 years ago for the same reason. As precious as this man is, and as much as my heart had compassion for him, I can't help but wonder how many times over the years his doctors had warned him to stop. How many thousands of packs of cigarettes did he hold in his hands with the warning label on it? I just think he probably didn't feel like quitting at the time. When we find ourselves in a challenge, we may not have time to study the Bible to get some word into our heart's soil. The stony ground that's spoken of here is a little better than wayside soil. The wayside soil was hard, didn't produce at all. The stony ground allows the seed to penetrate the soil and begin to grow, but it's easily plucked by Satan when the Christian gives up and gives in to the problems that the devil brought their way. Let's look at the last of the bad soils, the third one, which is still a further improvement, although small, on the stony ground. But at least we're getting closer to what we should be. Mark 4:18. Now these are the ones sown among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Notice they hear the word. So it sounds like this thorny soil describes a Christian who's in church regularly. Their soil allows the seed to penetrate and it grows. The fruit's coming along nicely, but then something happens to choke out the word and the growth stagnates. This Christian becomes unfruitful. We now understand if the devil can't steal the word in the first two soils, he'll choke it out in this kind of soil. How can he do that? Say this, if the devil can't steal my time with problems, he'll steal my time. By allowing me to succeed. The Bible says here that the devil comes to steal or choke the word. It talks about the deceitfulness of riches. What does that mean? Well, one thing to consider is this passage could actually explain why we see a lot of people that don't profess to be Christians that are rich. The devil has allowed their success, knowing that very often success in itself will sabotage a relationship with God. How many vocal or music artists do you know that started their singing career in the church world and found success in secular music? Well, I know of many, but some examples are Elvis, Michael Jackson, or Whitney Houston. Unfortunately, once successful, very few secular artists maintain a close relationship with Jesus. How many doctors or business people do you know or have you met that wanted nothing to do with Jesus? Sure, maybe they're nice people, but they see no need for a relationship with the one true God. Am I suggesting you can't have success, that you can't have material wealth? No, not at all. I'm saying we need to understand the place of money in our lives. Say this, God is number one in my life.
Not financial blessings.
God and His Word have to be number one in our lives. We're not to chase after success nor seek financial gain in such a way that we don't have time for God. The deceitfulness of riches puts our focus in the wrong place. We need to always seek His kingdom first for many reasons, but consider this one. there are certain things money cannot do for us. When the doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. Money can't solve that problem, but God can. Money can't fix a marriage, but God can. If you're driving down a freeway and you're about to be crushed by an 18-wheeler, money cannot protect you in that moment, but God's angels can. Some folks get money, and when they do, they buy a whole lot of pleasures and treasures with it. They say, we can't come to church, Pastor Joel, because we have to go to the lake house. You know, we have a lot of money tied up at the house, and it'd sure be a waste just to let it sit there. Or they might say, my golf buddies only play on Sundays. Or, we travel on the weekends because my life is so hectic during the week. But Pastor Joel, please remember me in your prayers. Say this, I must not allow, the pleasures of the world, to steal my time from reading the Bible, listening to good tapes, going to church, or fellowshipping with God. The Bible says in the last days there'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. But that's not talking about people in this church, amen? Amen? We can see the devil's the one trying to distract us. We have to be careful our possessions do not steal our time from God. What are some other weeds that can choke out God's word? How about pride, unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, or jealousy? These things are deadly weeds in our garden that can choke out the word and prevent a good harvest in our lives. If we allow these weeds to remain, we're sacrificing the abundant blessings of God. It's not worth it. We can't financially afford to allow unforgiveness, bitterness, resentment, or jealousy in our heart. We can't afford it physically. The price is too much to pay with our physical health to entertain those things. These weeds cut off the blessings of God because the devil choked out the word. Mark 4:20 out of the New King James. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. How did they bear good fruit? They hear the word of God, and they do it. James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. How do we do what we're learning today? All of us have a garden that we're preparing for God's seed to come into. All of us are farmers, and we need to aerate and prepare the soil of our heart. We know the seed is incorruptible. It can never fail. The only reason the seed doesn't produce a harvest is because of the condition of the soil. In every case we've studied today, the seed was the same quality. It was ready to produce abundantly, but the condition of the soil made the difference. Wayside soil, same seed. It can't produce. Stony soil, same seed, can't produce. Thorny soil, same seed, it can't produce. But the good soils produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. It's the same seed, but produced a different harvest. If there's a problem with our harvest, it's not the seed, it's the soil of our heart. Say, if there's a problem with my harvest,
if there's a problem with my harvest,
it's the soil, not God's seed. We're to make sure that our heart is ready for the seed all the time. Today, we start pulling the weeds and preparing the soil. We need to listen, and listen to Scripture. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. We need to give attention to the Word. You know, if we listen to all the negative around us, watching TV all day, listening to the news, watching every new movie that comes out, soaking in so much negative without feeding our spirit some good food, that negative will choke out our good harvest. I can tell you right now, eventually we'll become hypnotized to accepting all the garbage that goes into our heart. Say, whatever goes in my ears,
goes in my heart's soil.
Whatever goes in my eyes,
goes into my spirit.
Whatever I plant,
that's what grows.
Want a quick way to find out what's in your heart? Sure. Accidentally hit your thumb with a hammer and hear what comes out of your mouth from your heart. As we transition to a close, let's go to Matthew 12:35, where Jesus is speaking. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things. What do you suppose is the good treasure in the good man's heart? It's the Word of God. Mm-hmm. We must treasure God's Word more than our nice car, our nice house, or any of our other blessings. The Word of God must be a greater treasure than anything else before it will produce the abundant harvest. If I don't value His Word when I read the Bible or when I meditate on it, it's not a treasure to me. Jesus said, out of the good treasure, the good man produces good things. So who produces the good things? God or the man?
Man.
The man does. That's what Jesus said. So now we know we're the farmer that sows the seed. Every need that I will ever have, God has already given it to me in the form of a seed of His Word. Absolute abundance, financially, spiritually, mentally, physically, or anything else I need can be produced out of my heart. We can think of this Bible as a bag of seeds. Right here, this Bible in my hand, He's given me all the seeds I need for every harvest. As a farmer, I must never complain about the prosperous farm next door when I left my seeds in the barn instead of planting them in the field. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now this is tough, family. According to the scripture, did God bring the evil things on the man? Did the devil? No. The evil man's heart brought the evil things into his life. It says the evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth the evil things. Ouch. Sure, the devil brings bad things our way. But so can the bad seed that's in our heart. It can compound the problem. Mm-hmm. How? Well, let's say the devil does something bad and we say, today's not a good day and it doesn't look like tomorrow's going to be any better. That's a simple example of how we can compound the problem by allowing the negative seed to grow in our heart. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. If God says we need to guard something, we can figure it must be important all by our little selves. Isn't that right? More than anything else, we have to protect our heart. Pastor Joel, do you really mean anything? It's not me. It's the Bible that's saying above all else. But Pastor Joel, I have to take care of my assets, especially in this economy. I have to stay on top of my stock portfolio. I've got to watch that market because it's so volatile right now. Well, if that's all you're guarding, you're missing the mark. God said we are to guard the heart. Why? Because it's the wellspring of life. Or we can understand it this way. All our success, all our health, all our prosperity, all our happiness comes out of the heart. Say this, if I neglect my heart,
I'm neglecting my family.
If I neglect my heart,
I'm neglecting my business.
If I neglect my heart,
I'm neglecting my own happiness.
Family, God's word is extremely important, and we have to understand that. All the truths from the scripture are important, but there are two truths in what we've studied today that are most valuable. And we dare not miss them if we expect to understand all the other parables. First, God's word is valuable to my success in every area of my life. It's the very seed of all good things. Second, we must understand the law of sowing and reaping. Every word I say is a seed planted and the harvest comes. That's a law we must understand. The whole of God's kingdom works by seed, time, and then harvest. At creation, everything God created came from the seed of His spoken words. Time will pass between when we sow the seed and when we see the harvest. During that time, we water our seed with praise while focusing on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Let's practice what we've learned today and sow some good seeds in our heart as we close this teaching. Confess these positive words and allow them to be planted in the soil of your heart. I am blessed coming in,
and blessed going out.
I'm above only,
not beneath.
I am a winner.
I'm blessed
and highly favored.
Highly favored.
Everybody wants to do good things for me.
Everybody wants to do good things for me.
wherever I go.
People love me,
and I love people.
By Jesus' stripes,
I was and am healed.
I walk in perfect health.
I declare I hear God's voice.
I obey His voice.
I'm walking in His perfect will
every day.
I'm fulfilling His plan
for my life.
I'm completing my destiny.
In Jesus' name,
my home is blessed with love.
My angels go before me
and with me
to protect me
in all my ways.
God is organizing my future.
Good things
are waiting
for me to arrive.
Praise God.
Every head bowed.
We hope this message has been a blessing to you. The preceding message is copyrighted by Christian Family Church International and may not be duplicated for commercial use. Non-commercial distribution of this message to a reasonable number of friends for the purpose of spreading the gospel is allowed, with the restriction that this oral notice must stay a part of the message.